costs money. And it also costs money to keep up our studios and to bring you all of this great programming that you hear on KBOO every day. So I would just love it if you would consider giving to KBOO today, or maybe even best yet, making a recurring donation to KBOO. You can do that really easy. Just go online to kboo.fm/give, and there you can make a pledge of any amount. It does cost a lot of money to run KBOO. I have to admit, it costs pretty close to $1 million every year to run KBOO, and it's getting more expensive. And your support really makes a big, big difference. We have about 4,000 members right now, but we know that not everybody who listens to KBOO gives. And if you haven't given recently, maybe right now would be a great time to consider it. So again, if you would consider going to KBOO, go to kboo.fm/give and make a one-time or a recurring pledge to KBOO. Your support in any amount, it could be just a small amount, or if you can give more, that's great. But your support in any amount will make a huge difference. So again, if you can, please go to kboo.fm/give and give today. Thanks so much for listening to Transpositive, and have a great evening.
Listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
Is proud to present our 2022 Citizens Agenda Survey, and we want to hear your thoughts as we approach the midterm election. What do you want candidates to be talking about as they compete for votes? Let us know, and you can be entered into a sweepstakes to win a $50 Visa gift card as a thank you. Plus, it will help our volunteer reporters cover the election with the info that you need to know. Find the survey online at bit.ly/kboo-survey. That's KBOO's 2022 Citizens Agenda Survey, available online through September 25th at bit.ly/kboo-survey.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available on our website at kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online via video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available on our website. The Finance Committee meets the second Tuesday of the month at 6 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify that a meeting is being held.
Spark Plug. Stunning. New sounds every other Wednesday 3 a.m. to 5:30 a.m. Join us and get connected.
Tune in to KBOO every fourth Friday of the month at 8 p.m. for Squirrel Snow, the show where we broadcast galactic awareness, animal awareness, where we have fascinating conversations with movers and shakers in the fields of galactic awareness and animal awareness, and we play music that can raise our frequency of consciousness. Yeah, that is Squirrel Snow every fourth Friday of the month at 8 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO, Portland.
This is Ramona Africa, and you're listening to KBOO, KBOO 90.7 on your dial. KBOO is the exact example of the community taking charge of itself. On the move.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Funny how money changes situation. Miscommunication leads to complication.
Bienvenidos a Radio Prensa Pobre. Welcome to Poor People's Revolutionary Radio. From the streets to the bus shelters. This is your co-host Muteado Silencio, con voces de migrantes en resistencia, in studio today with Poverty Scala, Popoy, co-host mi carnala Tiny.
Yeah, from PNN, not CNN. From People's Park to Parker Liberation, from Wood Street Commons to the world, from homefulness to everyone. This is Poor People's Liberated Radio, live and direct from this small part of liberated Mama Earth, where we trying to unsell and unsettle all of her.
The Settler Courts, back to the Settler's Laws, making it illegal to sleep, stand, sit, or be while houseless in this stolen land. Today we hear the latest on Wall Street Collective in Occupy Ho Chi Minh, aka West Oakland. One of the largest encampments of unhoused people in the Bay that just got ruling in court saying that they all have to vacate their homes, their cars, their tents. Where are we supposed to go? And then we'll hear from Aiden Hill, one of the warriors from People's Park, fighting the ongoing academic desecration of UC Berkeley off a public park where houseless and house people fight together.
How long can I survive with this mentality?
Up next, we will have Ruthless Ready Report from Unhoused Warriors comrades from Wood Street Commons, who just got evicted again from their encampment.
The war on our poor backs continues in this stolen settler land. Once we're evicted, now we're seen as trash. Now we're not even seen as human. So now what do? Well, we try to find shelter because we are human. Guess what? And just because we don't have access to a roof, that doesn't mean we're the homeless people or some other monolith or some other hater narrative. Right now, our warrior comrades, our relatives, our unhoused relatives at Wood Street Commons, Cobb on Wood, are facing removal because they just went to the KKK courts and got yet another adjudication of hate. We are blessed to have them with us today, speaking their truth and letting us know exactly what's happening and what we all have to do to stand with them. Welcome, everybody, to Poor People's Radio. And Jazz, why don't you get us started telling us what's going on? What happened in court?
Like a month ago, we got the sort of last-minute eviction notice that the whole stretch was going to get swept. So we scrambled together to fill out as much legal paperwork as we could to get as many people in a restraining order lawsuit against Caltrans, the city of Oakland, Alameda County, and BNSF, and their like head folks, so like Governor Gavin Newsom, Libby Schaaf, Toksal Mashaken, Catherine Farmer. The first hearing had us kind of hopeful because the judge ordered that all the defendants had to work together to pool their resources and work together with us to come up with solutions to the situation, like a plan for where folks were going to go and what that was going to look like. And that was going to be done through a separate court process with a magistrate judge in the interim between that initial hearing and the next TRO hearing. And unfortunately, that's not what ended up happening. That ended up working in the defendant's favor, because while our community was busy organizing and coming up with long-term solutions, looking at the budgets that the state and the city were using and finding out that like the temporary shelter option that they were going to build on Game Changers land that they would be renting that was only going to temporary house 50 people, and they would have to spend all the money by 2024, so we don't even know how long the shelter option would even be there, was going to cost $4.5 million. And we found out with that same money you could permanently house 120 folks, maybe even 150 folks, in refab storage container homes with running water and electricity, like their own bathrooms and kitchens in them. We just needed land to put them on, and there's a lot of empty lots that the city and the state has at their disposal that could be used for that. And so we were proposing those things to them through the magistrate judge, but the whole time the magistrate judge was telling us, I really appreciate your organized and thoughtful proposals. I wish I could get the defendants on the same page, because all they're doing is pointing fingers and being like, no, it's their problem. No, it's their problem. Oh, we can't do anything because that's their land. We can't do anything because that's their land. And then it got to the point where it was like the day before the hearing, and the city, just at the very last, like 5:34 or something, like the last minute that they could put in a response like to the dissolving the TRO, and they put in the proposal that they proposed in this most recent hearing, which was that they would try to get 40 congregate shelter beds available every 2 weeks. So, and that Caltrans would have to evict in phases, and that the county would have to help them with that outreach. At no point did they engage with us, no matter how many times we reached out to them through the court process and outside of the court process. We even wrote them an open letter expressing our concerns and our ideas and how we wanted to collaborate with them on long-term solutions, and there, we got no response. And by the time of the court date, you could even tell that the defendants weren't even on the same page as far as the city's proposal, because when the city proposed it, the county was like, our outreach teams do medical work and they don't have the capacity to do the kind of outreach the city is talking about. They need to focus on people's medical concerns. And then you have Caltrans being like, well, we didn't agree to doing it phased in that way, like every 2 weeks, giving that much time. We're trying to remediate the fire danger as quickly as possible. And the judge just had to be like, well, you all have to deal with it because this is the only proposal that's been brought. And so he dissolved the TRO on that basis. That was the really disheartening part, though, is that there was a quote in his order that I feel like is probably good to share. He basically dissolved it on the notion that there's no constitutional right to housing, which there should be. But basically, in his own words during the court hearing, said that unfortunately the federal law is designed to protect property over people. So he was saying that like these would have to be public policy solutions, and there wasn't really anything he could rule to force them to collaborate with us, but in his order, he said, "Homelessness is a difficult social problem that requires public policy solutions. These plaintiffs have effectively and movingly spoken about the community they have built and what it means to them. They have also presented many ideas for public policy solutions. The state, city, and county would be well advised to incorporate the input and involvement of them and other individuals experiencing homelessness in their policy making." So it was kind of like a slap in the face, but like a nice thing at the same time, because it's like you're literally saying our ideas are better than theirs, but you can't federally order them to engage with us in that way. And the only difference between when we got the TRO and when it was lifted was that the city was offering shelter to people, which they didn't have to initially, but the court had to force them to. And even the shelter they are offering, it's congregate shelter beds like St. Vincent de Paul and other places like that, where it's a place you go at night but have to leave during the day. And that's very inaccessible to pretty much everyone on Wood Street, whether you have pets, family, disabilities, underlying health conditions, vehicles, or large amounts of belongings that you need to relocate. Those shelters don't take any of that into account and would basically force you to let Caltrans just bulldoze everything you have if you were going to accept that shelter, because you can't take any of that with you, and they're definitely not going to store it for you.
Thank you, Jazz. And right now I'm grieving, but then at the same time, like my mama said, as so many years of us on the street, if you can't laugh about this ish, you won't make it through. So thank you, Jazz, right, yeah, for the hypocrisy of that bizarreness. John, anything else that you want to say about the bizarre court hearing and or where are we going to go now?
We're not exactly sure where we're going to go. Carol Fife came by the other day with a list of property owned by the city, empty lot around town, possibilities for people to set up a temporary shop for now. The 22 acres was on that list. Wasn't on the list, but it was still an option. There was a point in time where she had some supporters that wanted it to happen, people unhoused to go over there and set up shop. But since it didn't go through at the time that they were pushing for it, some of the people are sort of sketchy about it because of things that the city had reported on that plot of land. And so they're not too sure about if it's the right thing to do for us to go over there. But we went over there yesterday and looked at it and sort of me and Jazz and mapped it out. And it is the ideal spot for the situation right now, just because of the size of it and multiple types of housing that even at this point would be put up over there as RVs, maybe a tent little area, even some built structures and stuff right off the bat. So it's ideal for the size. It's a clean slate in a sense. I don't like to say this, but it's out of the way so that maybe there wouldn't be as much pushback from neighbors, businesses. We're trying to keep the community together, of course, because there's power in numbers, you know that. And it's hard right now because of the way they're doing it, which Jazz said, there's phases. Every 2 weeks, supposedly 40, 50 residents will be offered shelter. If they turn away the shelter, then basically everyone's washed their hands of that individual and you're on your own. If someone needs it, then I think they should go to it, but it's not ideal. We all know that. I don't want anyone to be out in the wintertime if necessary. So I am going to encourage people, if it's something that might suit you for a while, I would pick up on it just to have a place, because we're not really sure how it's going to go to wherever lot we go to. We don't know exactly what's going to happen. Like if the police or whoever might come and start trying to evict the people right off the bat. So it's still something that's up in the air. But we're going to try, we're going to shoot for the 22 acres and start putting people over there and migrating over there and see how it turns out and see what we can do not to get it pushed off of that land and secure it for the future. Because you're only supposed to build on that land for another 4 years. So, and I feel like plans are always meant to be changed. So I'm hoping within the next year of being over there that we have enough structure and can develop it up enough where people can start seeing actually what we're talking about. And also referring to other people out in the community, such as yourself and a place in Austin, Texas, that did the same thing that we're trying to do here. You know, that'd be a great reference just to show that these things do succeed for us. So it's just a matter of time.
And I just want to say for listeners, houseless folks, us peoples, we're all different. Just like people have a roof. You know, it's not a tribe, right? It doesn't define us. There's disabled folks, there's elders, there's young people, there's people with different levels of skills, there's carpenters, there's artists, right, musicians. I mean, the reality is that's why we're asking for them to listen to listen to us about our own solutions, because we have our own solutions. That is that is the vision of Homefulness. That is the vision of these ideas that you guys were starting and creating with Cobb on Wood and with the Commons there. The criminalization, the hate, the absolute disrespect of not even providing you with trash service and water. Of course, you're setting us up to fail. What else are we going to do?
That's a very good point, too. When we talked to the magistrate judge, the first thing I said was just picture this apartment complex with 300 units, and there was no running water, no electricity, no garbage service, and you let them stay there for just 3 months. And you tell me then how you think it would turn out with everyone having to figure out how they're going to cook their meals, how they're going to take baths, clean themselves, how are they going to get rid of the trash? What would happen? You don't have to be an intellectual to see the problem and how it was set up, in that in any situation, in any neighborhood, in any place on this planet, if you don't provide those three necessities right there, then it's going to turn into a big show. It's not going to be safe. That's one of the things that we're so frustrated with, is that the media is still just saying this one-sided story. They're just saying, oh, you know, the plight, the blah, the blah. But they're not saying the reasons why it's like that. It's not because of the homeless, because the resources weren't put into place for them to be able to succeed. That's the part that we're trying to get out there.
Much love. Talk to you soon.
How long can I survive with this mentality? How long can I survive with this mentality? Trials and tribulations I'm facing in this age of information.
Up next, People's Part, an ongoing resistance to academic colonization.
We know, as these kangaroo courts adjudicate our lives as houseless folks, we end up with pretty much nowhere to go, because in a capitalist system, if you're not producing money or able to be extracted from, you don't matter. We're dealing with so-called public parks and spaces and places where we try to hide, where we try to rest. How about that, rest? So as listeners know, our brothers and sisters at People's Park have been trying to continue People's Park for the people. And the academic colonizers have profit in their eyes and dollar signs in their minds. And so we lost so many trees and space. But we're not stopping. We're not giving up. No, they didn't win yet. And they aren't going to. On the phone, we are blessed to have a powerful warrior for the mama trees, a warrior for the people, and UC Berkeley alumni. Welcome, Aiden, back to Poor People's Radio.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here.
Paint a picture for listeners who haven't necessarily seen the desecration.
On August 3rd, UC Berkeley came in the middle of the night, approximately 12:30 a.m., and they started clearing all of the cars on the side of People's Park on Dwight Way on Hay Street. They towed them, they moved them, and then they came with a fencing company. At that point, us at People's Park, we called the bulldozer alarm. We said that UC Berkeley was coming, and they started fencing us in, arresting people who were trying to stop construction equipment from touching the ground. They started revving up their chainsaws, taunting us, threatening us, arresting us. And when they were able to get most people outside of the park, they started cutting down our trees, starting with the garden area, which is closest to Telegraph Avenue, if you're familiar with the park. They cut down about 40 trees. This is a continual struggle, because they've cut down approximately 150 trees just in the last 6 years alone. Redwood trees, they cut down 12 of those. They've cut down an evergreen ash, honey locust, multiple oak trees, Japanese maples, plum trees. lemon trees, figs, pears, you name it. They cut down all of them to make way for their buildings.
Where are we at now, Aiden? What should listeners do?
Now, what we should be doing is using whatever momentum we have to continually fight against power. So right now in People's Park, they're trying to fence us in. They're trying to bulldoze us. Now's the time for us to look at their properties, their vacant land, their unused properties, and say, hey, you really need somewhere to build. This is where we're going to occupy. This is where we're going to take over, where the poor people are going to make their homes. Mm. Just like Moms for Housing in Oakland, students here should be doing that at the Chancellor's Mansion, which has been unoccupied from 2017. If we're serious about defencing, like we did at People's Park, we should be taking over the Dwight Triangle, which is where the first People's Park was. It's right next door. It still has a fence. They erected a fence in 2018 to kick out homeless students from camping there. And so the more they are aggressive to us, we have to show that we have the same amount of power, people power. Imagine if every single UC campus had its own People's Park. There's no way they would be able to send their riot police against all of us.
We love you, Aiden. We'll talk to you very soon.
It's funny how money changes situations. Miscommunication leads to complication.
So that's all for this segment of Poor News Network. If you want to hear any of our Poor People's Revolutionary Radio, you can subscribe to Poor Magazine SoundCloud channel or find and subscribe to Poor News Network on YouTube. Thanks to Anita Johnson, David D, and Anthony Fest for the media access, and all of you for listening. All power to the people.
Grab hold of what you can't control. Now you all lost with a sight to behold. Wisdom is better than silver and gold. I was hopeless, now I'm on hope roll. Every man wanna act like he's exempt. Need to get down on his knees and repent. Can't slick talk on the day of judgment. The movement's similar to a serpent.
Hard knock, turn the speakers in your car up. Quality program, turn in for the real talk. Don't stop, EMN at it again. Sandman, Daddy Man, Chris Juwan Kim, yeah. Innovation, stimulating ill conversation. Anything else, just imitation. Simulation, step into the zone. The Bay Area zone, hard knock. Radio, let's go. Big shout out to Nita and Davey D. Yeah, right, feel me, yeah. Honing down at Hard Knock Radio.
Hard Knock Radio.
Kinda crazy though. Oakland, stand up.
Yeah. Stand up.
Ensemble, Big Night Wolves.
Yeah. Kansas City.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bellevue. Yeah. Come on, check out.
Why every novice think they hard knock when they ain't going all in and ain't paid the cost of the fee? Hating that they made they beats, trying to eat till they ready from the steel gray beef. Say please, baby, they'll save you a seat at the table with a great bread making a speech. Say some peace to their lovers, our neighbor to please. Maybe some shade on your name in the street. Good, it ain't David G.
Real Talk Radio.
You and I rocking with the best in the West.
West Coast. Monday through Friday.
Sing it, Chris.
East Coast.
Assange, Palestine, and other freedom struggles. Hello to Jeff. Julian Assange, a journalist and publisher for the internet agency known as WikiLeaks, faces a frightening regime of U.S. torture if he's extradited to America on false espionage charges. Assange's WikiLeaks has only committed their jobs as journalists to unravel and expose government lies, government crimes, and government murders in their imperial persecution of unjust wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Assange committed no crime, except perhaps that which is truly unpardonable, embarrassing the U.S. Imperial Army as it killed innocent, unarmed civilians in Iraq and elsewhere. WikiLeaks published tapes of American soldiers laughing and joking as they slaughtered Arabs. And guess who got charged with a crime? Julian Assange, who has been subjected to mind-bending tortures of solitary confinement, itself a violation of international human rights law. Julian is not a citizen of the U.S. He is not a spy. He is a brave and resourceful journalist who fought to reveal the truth. He should be free and not only applauded, but awarded. And now to Palestine. Recently, when writing about Palestine, I referenced the work of philosopher Achille Mbembe's 2019 book, Necropolitics. Professor Mbembe makes note of what he calls exits from democracy, or of those intentionally excluded from democratic consideration, those contemplated as outsiders. He writes of how the Palestinians in the lands of their birth are such an excluded people, and he compares this to the mid to late 20th century exclusions known to the world as apartheid in South Africa. Mbembe writes, permanent or random checkpoints, cement blocks, and mounds of earth designed to block roads, the control of air and marine space, of the import and export of all sorts of products, frequent military incursions, demolition of houses, the desecration of cemeteries, uprooting whole olive groves, obliterating and turning infrastructure to dust, high and medium altitude bombings, targeted assassinations, urban counterinsurgency techniques, the profiling of minds and bodies, constant harassment, the ever smaller subdivision of land, cellular and molecular violence, the generalization of the camp form. Every feasible means is put to work to impose a regime of separation whose functioning, paradoxically, depends on approximate intimacy with those who have been separated. Mbembe, page 44. He adds, such practices variously recall the reviled model of apartheid with its Bantustans, vast reservoirs of cheap labor, its white zones, its multiple jurisdictions, and wanton violence. However, the metaphor of apartheid does not fully account for the specific character of the Israeli separation project. First, this project rests on a rather singular metaphysical and existential base. The apocalyptic and catastrophist resources underwriting it are far more complex and derive from a longer historical horizon than those that made South African Calvinism possible. Second, with its high-tech character, the effects of the Israeli project on the Palestinian body are far more formidable than the relatively primitive operations undertaken by the apartheid regime in South Africa between 1948 and the early 1980s. This also goes for the miniaturization of violence, its cellularization and molecularization, as well as its various techniques of material and symbolic effacement. It is also evidenced in the procedures and techniques of demolition of almost everything, infrastructures, houses, roads, the countryside, and the dynamic of frenzied destruction, whose essence lies in transforming the lives of Palestinians into a heap of ruins or a pile of garbage destined for cleansing. In South Africa, the mounds of ruins never did reach such a scale. Professor Mbembe. Achille Mbembe in the book Necropolitics is quoted here. This should give us some insight into the regime of collective punishment enacted against Palestine, written by a brilliant African scholar. As for me, the struggle continues. Wherever you are, there's probably a group of young activists who organize on our benefit and behalf. we struggle on. For in the words of our belated sister, Kilu Miyasha, freedom is a constant struggle. I love you all. With love, not fear. This is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Prison Radio.
Hard Knocks Radio. We're rocking with Picasso.
What?
And Maya.
Who?
And my last name is Susana. Yeah, yeah.
All's my life I has to fight. All's my life I. Hard times like yeah. Bad trips like yeah. Nazareth, I'm f***ed up, homie, you f***ed up. But if God got us, then we gon' be alright. And when I wake up, I recognize you looking at me for the pay cut. Bahamas, I be looking at you from the face down. One Mac 11, even boom with the bass down. Skimming, and let me tell you about my life. Painkillers only put me in the twilight. But pretty Benjamin is the highlight. I tell my mama I love her, but this what I like. Lord knows, 20 of them in my Chevy. Tell them all to come and get me, reaping everything I sow. So my karma come in heaven, no preliminary hearings on my record. I'm a f***ing gangsta in silence for the record. Tell the world I know it's too late. Boys and girls, I think I've gone crazy. Trying to side my vices all day. Won't you please believe when I say, when you know we've been hurt, been down before. When our pride was low, looking at the world like, where do we go? And we hate po-po, wanna kill us dead in the street for sure. I'm at the preacher's door, my knees getting weak and my gun might blow. But we gon' be alright. You can live at the mall. I can see the evil, I can tell it. I know it's illegal. I don't think about it. I deposit every other zero. Thinking of my partner. Put the candy, painting on a Rico. Digging in my pocket. And a profit big enough to feed you. Every day my logic. Get another dollar just to keep you in the presence of your Chico. Ah! I don't talk about it. Be about it. Every day I sequel. If I got it, then you know you got it. Heaven, I can reach you. Pet dog, pet dog, pet dog. My dog, that's all. Pick back and chat. I trap the back for y'all. I rap, I black on tracks. Arrest assured. My rights, my wrongs. I write till I'm right with God. When you know we've been hurt, been down before. When our pride was low, looking at the world like, where do we go? And we hate po-po, wanna kill us dead in the street for sure. I'm at the preacher's door, my knees getting weak and my gun might blow, but we gon' be alright.
In my prayers,
I remember you was conflicted.
It's funny how money changes situation. Miscommunication lead to complication.
Bienvenidos a Radio Prensa Pobre. Welcome to Poor People's Revolutionary Radio. From the streets to the bus shelters. This is your co-host Muteado Silencio, con voces de migrantes en resistencia, in studio today with Poverty Scala, Popoid, co-host mi carnala Tiny.
Yeah, that's PNN, not CNN, people. Poor People's Revolutionary Radio. No more about us without us. We don't need corporate media to fetishize, confuse, and tuck where we don't even get a voice. Oh, heck no. So yeah, poor people's got a voice, and we need to be heard. We appreciate you all for listening because we are broadcasting from this small part of unsold, untold Mama Earth in Ohlone Lashon Land, occupied village of Uchin, deconstructing these false colonial borders that has so many of us border terrorized. We're going to be talking to Sister Warrior, extended family member Renee Salcedo, about a powerful campaign that they are launching with migrante indigenous peoples who have the right to cross all of these false borders across Mama Earth. Before that, we're going to be talking to Sister Terry Lovett, who is a powerful mama warrior who is fighting justice for Jelani, a case out of L.A. where, again, these plantation overseers, a.k.a. the police, the sheriffs, the county, are basically killing our folks. We are blessed to hear a warrior mama who has launched a powerful campaign to get justice for her son down in occupied Tongva area, a.k.a. L.A., who was essentially murdered at the hands of the mafia, the biggest gang known as the L.A. County Sheriff's Department. For those of you who might remember, we had Sister Terry Lovett on our show, who is really not stopping until she gets justice, which is how all of us folks know that you have to fight this system. So welcome back to Poor People's Radio. Mama Terry, how you doing? For folks who don't remember or don't know about your son's case, tell us some brief history and then tell us where we're at now.
As you know, Tiny, he was killed on September the 22nd last year by the hands of the L.A. Sheriff's Department. I've been writing, trying to get investigation reports. I've been unable to. I have climbed the chain of command to the Attorney General's office. I'm working on a campaign for the Attorney General to answer me. I went to the Inspector General in L.A. I went to the Oversight Commission. I went to the District Attorney in L.A. And nobody would answer me and give me any answers. So now I've climbed the chain of command. I'm at the Attorney General's office. He sent my pack of information to the DOJ's office in L.A. They are doing an investigation on L.A. sheriffs, but they didn't answer my complaint. They just wanted information to help their investigation that they're doing. Well, hell, they've been doing an investigation for years and years and years. So it's time to stop investigating. I just recently found out in the last couple of weeks that it was 2.5 hours before my son died that he was filed. He was filed at 3:45 in the afternoon. He didn't die till 6:18, Tiny. So what was being done all that time? I'm going back down there to protest Men's Central Jail, also to try to put some heat up on the Attorney General's office. I'm going back to the district attorney because somebody needs to be charged now. If they sat around and watched anybody die for 2.5 hours, they need to be charged. So that's what I'm working on because I'm not going to stop this fight until I get justice for my son. They literally killed my son. You know, they said he's a fentanyl and heroin OD, but how did he get them drugs in a one-man cell? He wasn't by any inmates. He had no other inmate contact. So the police had to bring him the drugs if he had any in him. It was no visiting going on at the time at the jail, so nobody didn't hand him nothing. My son had 5 times the amount of fentanyl in him that it takes to kill anybody.
The biggest gangs in this occupied land are the police and the sheriffs.
There are 16 gangs within the sheriff's department. Jump Out Boys, the Little Devils, 2,000 Boys, Bandinos, Inspector General, they have an investigation open into those gangs, and they have discovered that there are gangs in the sheriff's department. The gang that I believe killed my son is the 3,000 Boys because he was on the third floor. Only the 3,000 Boys run that floor. I only have investigation reports that they gave me and interview reports that they gave me, and it said that the inmate next to him watched his cell with a mirror for 57 minutes. So what was that inmate looking at for 57 minutes? And then on the statement that he made, he said that everybody on the tier was calling my son. And he didn't answer, so everybody on the tier must have heard something. They said they were doing an investigation on Jelani's case. I just found out in May that they closed the investigation in December. So what was your findings? Who gave Jelani the drugs? Nobody's answering me. Nobody is answering where I have wrote each individual climbing the chain of command. Even the Attorney General, my stuff sat on his desk from May until the beginning of August. And then he sent my stuff to the DOJ in L.A. And when they called me, all they asked about was information to help their ongoing investigation. They did not even answer my complaint. It's time for Rob Bonte to do something with his law enforcement. They're out of hand. They're out of control.
So Disco, people are clear. Rob Bonta is the attorney general. He is supposedly a little bit more conscious.
He's the only one that can go in there and reopen the investigation on Jelani Lovett's case. And it warrants being reopened for the fact that he was found at 3:45 and didn't die to 6:18. What was being done those 2.5 hours? He needs to open this case back up and do an independent investigation himself. With the pictures that we got from the coroners, it shows a beating on Jelani's body. He was beat to death. He had a brain hemorrhage. He had 2 busted glands in him, so I believe Jelani bled from the inside out. He went in there to do a sitting, never to come out. Somebody has to answer for my son's death. I don't want to think that my tax money is going to pay somebody's salary that killed my child. And not just my kids. It's so many mothers in L.A. that have lost their children by the hands of L.A. sheriffs. And right. Nothing is being done about it. They have gotten away with stuff so long down there that nobody pays any attention. But somebody's going to pay attention this time because we are paying them a salary to kill our children.
They get away with this all the time. In custody deaths, it's called. For people who want to know more, want to support, you are on Facebook or Instagram or any of that, if they want to just follow you?
Instagram, my daughter has a page set up for my son, Justice for Jelani Lovett.
Justice for Jelani, J-A-L-A-N-I. Again, Justice for Jelani Lovett on Instagram. What are the last words you'd like to say before we close out, fam?
If you run into this problem, make sure that you read your reports, autopsy reports, because that's what they count on black people not reading. Make sure you read your reports.
Talk to you soon, hon.
You are listening to Poor People's Revolutionary Radio. After this short music break, we will speak with Warrior Sister Renee Salcedo, who is working to fight these false violent borders with a new powerful campaign.
So we back with Poor People's Radio. We know as we fight these overseer plantation prisons and jails, and they also have these false colonial borders, saying where and how and why indigenous peoples can move. For those of you who aren't familiar with it, the UN Declaration on Indigenous Peoples, which is a powerful document, notwithstanding the violence and the politics of the United Nations, but that document was created by indigenous peoples over a 22-year process, and one of the things it says is that First Peoples, indigenous peoples, can walk anywhere they want to for any reason, because this is their land, this is Mama Earth, and that the false colonial border terrorism is actually just another tool of settler colonial violence. We are blessed to have a powerful warrior sister, Renee Salcedo, welcome to Poor People's Radio.
Hello, Tiny. I'm so happy to be here and honored to be with you. And I miss you. I haven't seen you in a long time.
Yes.
I'm so glad we're here together.
Ashe. Thank you, hon. You're also here with Mutial de Silencio, co-host, and, you know, somebody that I guess you could say operates on this stolen territory, sin papeles, like a lot of us do.
Hey, Renee, thank you for being here.
Oh, my pleasure, compañero. Great to hear you.
Renee, tell listeners what kind of work you're doing and where.
We're now living in Sonoma County. I'm so happy working at the Grayton Day Labor Center. I get to organize with immigrant and indigenous women, primarily from Mexico. They are predominantly house cleaners and caregivers and farm workers. They've been working on several campaigns. One of them is the campaign for Papeles para Todos, or Papers for All. papers for the 12 million who are here deemed by the U.S. government to be undocumented. They keep them with an undocumented status because they perceive them that way to be more exploitable, an exploitable pool of labor. So these brave women in UMAS is the women's organization at the Great and Day Labor Center. They've been pushing for just immigration reform, and now they're supporting a new bill that is pending in Congress. It's called H.R. 8433. It's in the House of Representatives. Another name it's being called is the Registry Bill. The reason why we like this bill is because, unlike other quote-unquote immigration reform bills, it doesn't include all the bad policies, the policies that cause more suffering, which historically have been included as a condition of papers for some. We'd rather have the registry date be immediate and not 7 years, but it's definitely a good start.
Thank you, Vanessa Sella, for being here. And again, just listening now, what you're breaking down, that Papeles para Todas is more inclusive than some of these. You know, I think that was what some of us found problematic, like the DREAM Act and stuff, that only was tended for students. And again, so we were like, well, what's going to happen with the uncles, with the tias, with the abuelitas, with the mamas, with the papas, right? Which also, again, we see the benefits, the benefit of our youth. But again, that this feels like it includes everyone, not just students, not just certain generations, but all of us who are here, you know, working in the kitchens, in the fields, the tios, the tias.
I'm so glad that you mentioned this, compañero, because just like the DACA youth are supporting a broader legalization bill, the same thing goes with the farm workers. There are many farm worker organizations, for example, that don't support this proposal called the Farm Worker Modernization Act, which on the one hand would provide a way for some farm workers to apply for their residency, but on the other hand, it also expands bracero programs, guest worker programs, which ties workers to one employer, causing severe exploitation. We hear stories from our farm worker members talking about how the temporary workers are made to work longer hours for less pay. They don't complain because they're afraid not only of losing their job, but of being deported. So that's why many farm worker organizations across the country that we're working with oppose the Farm Worker Modernization Bill. We have to, as a community, we have to demand what's right for our community without conditions.
All right, dear. Talk to you later.
It's funny how money changes situation. Miscommunication leads to complication.
So that's all for this segment of Poor News Network. If you want to hear any of our Poor People's Revolutionary Radio, you can subscribe to Poor Magazine SoundCloud channel or find and subscribe to Poor News Network on YouTube. Thanks to Anita Johnson, David D, and Anthony Fest for the media access, and all of you for listening. All power to the people.
Now, how come your talk turned cold? Gain the whole world for the price of your soul. Trying to grab hold of what you can't control. Now you walk lost with a sight to behold. Wisdom is better than silver and gold.
When the environment turns, floods are ravishing Mississippi, while extensive droughts are occurring out west. The areas in between are held in the sweaty grip of a heat wave. In Europe, hundreds of people die from the excessive heat. Climate change, sometimes called global warming, is a reality. Meanwhile, politicians who poo-pooed the idea of climate change now sound incredibly stupid. They sounded like apologists for industrialists as the earth simmers. It also seems like political semi-solutions, like treaties and promises of lessened environmental damage, are too little and much too late. Similarly, scientific predictions mountains of ice melts were so conservative that they badly understated the problems facing human populations. Simply put, capitalism kills. The unrestrained search for unlimited profits have endangered the air, water, temperatures, and water levels around the world. And human populations are facing survival threats that can't be met by America's formidable war machine. Perhaps the planting of millions of trees and making human habitats green spaces could delay the coming environmental carnage. Perhaps. With love, not fear, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Prison Radio.
What does it mean to be sheltered in place if the place you sheltered in don't feel safe? And how do we become so qualified to judge and chastise and lose the ability to empathize with those who don't feel safe inside for whatever reason? You know, you sometimes ain't got the luxury of feeling safe at home when you ain't got a safe space to call your own. No privacy, no courtesy, no bed, nor peace of mind. You're grateful for a roof over your head, but that's not where everybody spends their time. So by this time, you're already mastered trying to stay out the way. And you already overheard chatter about not overextending your stay. And trying to find resources hard without a computer or Wi-Fi. Plus, employment opportunities are scarce and local businesses are boarded up. So you being honest with yourself, asking like, why try? And it's not that everybody who's outside right now is even trying to be selfish. You know, some don't even want to be outside. They're just trying to avoid the insult of being displaced inside. You see, there's a lot of uncomfortable going on. And despite what you see on your timeline, not everybody's dancing to the same song. You know, some are dancing to the tune of loneliness and some ain't dancing at all. Some have their phones glued to their face and some ain't got no phones at all. No homes at all. No clocks on the wall. No time at all. No TikTok. No selfies. No hashtags. No memes. No statuses with complaints about how much food they overate. You know, some are still trying to find a meal and some are still trying to find their meal. I saw a broken car glass on my run around the block today. I must got a lot running through my mind today. Probably an indicator that I need to be still and pray. But the fact is, we are all in this together. And the ones who judge and lead without love must not know no better. The world's lungs are under attack, and we're wasting precious breath on judgment, conspiracy theories about the government. Remember, we don't all have the same privilege when it comes on to access to information, and we're not all watching the same station. And after 10 years as an administrator in special education, I can tell you we all learn different. Matter of fact, it's time for a deep breath. It's time for a reset. Creatives, be gentle with yourselves. It's okay to take a break. Your value as a person is not defined by the art you create. Some of us are called to be light, and all of us are called to be salt. Preserve your well-being. Let love and kindness be your currency. Let Christ's compassion lead the way. And despite what economists say, empathy is the new wave, and it's the same as the old one too. It's all cyclical. And if you believe that money makes the world go round, then yeah, this standstill can be scary. But there are those of us who learn to speak without talking and move without walking. This is a journey to the inside. No more sweeping it under the rug. That rug is filled. And yes, the pain is present, but the love is real. So, today I'm gonna be patient with myself. The goal is to be present, not perfect. And parents, you don't have to be perfect. This ain't no normal homeschooling. Your children can feel the world's stress. And under such circumstances, no one learns their best. And you are doing your best. And might I add, a damn good job? And so are our essential workers too. And right now, I'm gonna say a special prayer for our social workers and educators too. And all the folks doing food accessibility work, I see you. Three black chefs in Meadowview, I see you. And I thank you from the abundance of my heart. And for our families with loved ones behind bars, I know this season is hard. So I don't want to offer any platitudes or throw any out of context scripture your way. And for those of us who've lost loved ones to the virus, we lament and pray. We are experiencing a collective grief to a scale none of us have ever seen before. Be gentle with yourselves. Do not harden your hearts. It may be Christ knocking at the door.
Hey, Hard Knock Radio. East, West, North, South, conectados. Every set, every hood, barrio to barrio. Y'all stand up, stay righteous, speaking to the thugs. One love, we know where y'all at. Round Buffalo. It's a hard knock life, gotta pay your bills. They want a song about bling, but it ain't real. We speak to the kids and the OGs. Organize, mobilize, be the change you wanna see. 415's bumping Hard Knock Radio. Brown Buffalo, all up in your stereo. And to the youth, live life like it's golden. Go dumb, go hard, but don't forget where you're going. We from the hood, so it's all to the good. Let us know this, what you're feeling is right. Let's get this understood. It's only one reason why we here today. We trying to make real music so the people can relate.
Learning from these hard knocks, slipping in these hard knocks, listening to hard knocks, questioning the poor guy. Learning through these hard knocks, living for this hip hop.